great to be here, guys. I hope you've got your Bibles this morning. I've got a few little verses for you. But hopefully I can be an encouragement to you and also challenge you a little bit as well, if that's okay. let's just check my notes. Something I've just been considering a little bit. Isaiah 61. You can look it up if you want. Isaiah 61 verse 3. Should have found it by now. It's in the Bible, I'm sure. I've lost it. Maybe they didn't print it in this one. There we are. Four. Now, is it talking about Isaiah 61 verse 3, and it's very famous. It's just one line I wanted to pick up. verse 2, it says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And in another version it says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Oh, well, that's exciting stuff. And you think, well, I'd like a bit of that. instead of the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise, that's great, isn't it? And sometimes we can try and drum that up a little bit. And I think it's really good to be purposeful in the way that we live our lives. You know, I see a lot of people who have got a lot of stuff and they walk around with a spirit of heaviness. Amen. You seen those people? Always, oh, well, I haven't got this and I haven't got that. And God hasn't given me this. And they're heaviness. Huh? We can be like that sometimes, can't we? But I want to encourage you, the Lord wants to remove that spirit of heaviness from us. In fact, this is what he's promising. When, you know, he's talking about Jesus. This is a prophecy, and he's saying, I will. What's he say? what's the verse? He said, I will provide a garment of praise. I will provide it. And you think, well, I haven't got to drum that up, have I? But how do we move into these things? And I think the Lord showed me in some way that there is a way to move into this garment of praise and release yourself from the spirit of heaviness. Amen? I just want to share with you a couple of things, if that's all right, from my personal life. I've kind of started out working for the church, and that's been amazing, and I'm loving it. Apart from, obviously, now I only get paid for 3 of the days a week, not 5 of them. Okay? And you know that Bible verse where Paul says, I know what it's like to have a lot, and I know what it's like to have not a lot, and it all doesn't matter, and it's all great. And I think to myself, having less is actually rubbish. Doesn't actually feel as good. I'm not with you yet, Paul. Maybe I'll get there one day, but it's actually a bit tougher. but I want to, you know, my heart is I want to be about the Lord's business, and it's exciting, and the Lord is really speaking more to me and refreshing me. But I found it like well easy or anything, and oh, I've just moved in the blessing of the Lord all the time. You know, actually, my back's been pretty bad over this last couple of years, and I've been praying about that. Lord, heal me. And he's not healed me. And I had an appointment with the doctor the other day, and I said, all right, so what are we going to do next? And I had some injections and had some bit. What are we going to do next? No, there's nothing for you next. You just had to put up with it. And I thought, it's kind of just, I don't know, you know, and you're like, oh, I wanted to be moving in the victory, and I'm not. But that's the reality of life, isn't it? You know, we want to come and, oh yes, I'm moving in the victory. I mean, in some areas, we're just living in the brokenness. But I want to encourage you that the Lord has been speaking to me, and I realise that I've got a challenge in life, and I know what my biggest challenge is. I know it. Because the scriptures came alive to me and just spoke to me. If you want to turn to it, you can turn to it in Matthew 6, verse 33. See if I've got Matthew in my Bible. Just double check. Oh, look, there it is. So Matthew 6. Turn. I don't know if you brought your Bible with you today. Maybe you got it on your phone. So Matthew 6 verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of righteousness. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And do you know what? It's been really exciting to see God doing things like that for me this last couple of weeks. And it's really filled me with this joy. You know, I was talking about in that other verse, the spirit of heaviness being replaced with this garment of praise. And sometimes I think when we really go for God, not everything works perfectly. But there are little things that God does and you just think, yes, he's with me. And it just encourages you so much. And that's been my testimony this last few weeks. Obviously, I talked about not having as much money. And we wanted to buy a new table. And Gemma has been banging on at me for about 6 years. That's when we did our extension. Can I have a new table? She said, I want a really big table. And when we did the house, we put these lights in the right size for a much bigger table. And I said, well, we haven't got enough money for a table. We have to wait till I get my bonus. That was 6 years ago. And every year I keep saying, well, and the next one we can get it. And then obviously this year she was like, well, can I just have the chairs? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll get the chairs. And then I got my bonus and we obviously started working for the church. And guess what? Can afford the chairs. And let alone the table. And she wanted this nice £2,000 table. I was like, well, that's just out of our budget altogether. And so we'll just forget about it and stick with the table we've got. and then, you know, it's just a table. We had the table. It wasn't life-changing, but we just wanted a nice, you know, Gemma just really wanted a nice table. And I couldn't really give it. I just forgot about it. I didn't really pray about it too much. You know, I wasn't like, oh, Lord, give me a table. I just didn't really cross my mind. I just assumed, oh, well, serving the Lord now, that'll have to wait. And then Enoch put out a, not Enoch, Dion. Where is he? Where's Dion? Enoch's like, did I? I don't remember that. Dion put out a message saying, someone's getting rid of an oak table. Does anybody want it? And I saw the message and I thought, oh, I wonder if Gemma probably won't like the table, so I won't even bother. And then I remember Tim messaged me, oh, there's a table. You want a table? Look at the table. And I was like, oh, okay. And so, and then Gemma came in and she went, Tim just texted me saying that there's a table. Are you doing anything about it? And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, yeah, I'll send the message. And so I went on there, wrote the message. And by the time I'd written a message, someone else had already written a message saying, yeah, I'll have it. It was Mark, wasn't it? And I said, oh, all right, I'll rewrite my message. All right, if Mark doesn't want it, I'd like to have it. It'd be great. And I thought, I didn't really think too much of it. And then Mark and Hannah came back a couple of weeks out. They were like, no, it's not going to work for us. And we went and got this table, me and Tim and Dion. I think Tim put his back out. I didn't, because I didn't touch it. I let them do it. And we got this amazing table, and apparently someone had bought it 2 years ago, some rich person. They bought it 2 years ago and decided they didn't want it, and it cost £3,000. And we put it in the van, and we brought it back, and it's in my kitchen. It's exactly the right size. And Gemma wanted one where you could sit round it and no one bashes their leg on the leg. And it's exactly like that. And so it's like, it's just the right one. And do you know what? It encouraged me so much. And I thought to myself, do you know what? The Lord knows exactly everything I need. And even the things that I want, but he cares about the little details. It's just a table. It's not, you know, I could keep going without the table, but it's encouragement to me that the Lord is saying, I've got you. I know what you need. I even know what you'd like. And I care about those little things. And I, do you know what? In that moment, it was like I could just see the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? I just got a little glimpse of it. There's a whole nother world of things going on. They're all pieced together and come together in this world somehow. And God is in control of all of it, down to the little detail. Isn't that exciting? But there was another little story. I really wanted another TV for... We got the old TV that I'd bought secondhand anyway, for the kids' playroom, and it's not that good. And sometimes the youth watch movies on it, and the kids play Xbox on it, and it's not... I like TVs and stuff like that. It's kind of like the sort of stuff that I like. We don't need it. The other TV was fine, but I really wanted another TV. And at work, we had some old bits and bobs, and there's some screens. And I said, because I was in charge of all the IT stuff, and I'd say, right, I'm having one of those TVs. And they were like quite nice big TVs, and I put them aside. And the facilities guys were managing. He said, don't worry, we'll put it aside. You can take it. And they're just something. You know, when sometimes it just doesn't sit right with you, and after a while you think, yeah, I could do it, and it's kind of not wrong, but it just isn't sitting right with me, and like there's this just sense in me that I'm like, oh, I don't know, I just don't think it'll be pleasing to the Lord, and so in the end I just said, I'm just going to leave it, and I left the telly, and you know, and then work said, oh, we've got this other meeting room, and we don't want to spend any money, can you sort it out? And I said, oh, we've got a screen, don't worry, put it all up, and we sort it all out, it was great. And I kind of didn't think anything of it. And Dion, Lou's using Dion. Dion the other way, oh, I've got a load of tellies, does anyone want a telly? And I was like, oh, not like the last message, I'm going to be straight on it. I was like, yeah, I'm having one. And I still haven't given him any money for it yet, but the Lord knows exactly what I need, and he knew that if I had a load of money, I wouldn't be spending it on the telly because I've got other priorities. And sometimes the Lord knows every little detail, doesn't he? And he's just saying, look, I've got you. You seek after me first, and I'll sort all the other little bits for you. You know, like I haven't forgotten about you and all the little things you need. And to me, again, it's just this sense of, I can just see into another realm somehow, just for a moment, just a little glimpse. It says, I'm working for you. I've got it all under control. And you know, it's not like my back is fixed and I'm always just moving in the victory on every little thing. But I know for sure that God knows every little detail and he loves me. And he's got me in his hand and he will give me all the things I need. Isn't that exciting? And I don't need to worry about chasing after it all. Did you ever get like that? You go round and round in circles trying to get all the things you need and do all the things you do. And after a while, you start to get worn out of it all. Just chasing after what I want for me. And you move out of this moment of garment of praise and you move into that spirit of heaviness somehow. And the Lord is saying, if you don't want to get caught up in the spirit of heaviness, go after my kingdom. Forget about yourself. Isn't it wonderful? It's hard to do, by the way. You know, like, I've spent ages looking for a new bike. I've wasted loads of time on it. Partly I enjoy it, okay? Don't get me wrong. But you know when you get to a point where you're like, oh, this is just consuming my life now. All my spare thinking time, I'm thinking about what am I going to do? And the Lord's saying, put all that aside. And I started to think to myself, do you know, just this last week I was thinking, well, you haven't got so much money now. Maybe you could do a little something on the side. Maybe you could fix some laptops or do something. And I realise my biggest challenge isn't all the things that I need. My biggest challenge is to see the kingdom of God first and to be a righteous man. That is, do you know what? That is such a challenge to us, I think. And I want to encourage you that we need to change our way of thinking. And God's trying, he's poking me and prodding me and saying, Pat, are you going to keep coming for me or are you going to get distracted? I'll sort out the little details if you let me. So I'm inspired at the moment. I'm inspired that God has got me in his hand and he wants me to go after his kingdom. But I'm also inspired that I'm not any more special than you. He loves you just as much as he loves me. And that you are to go after his kingdom too. In whatever way that might be. Sorry. Yeah, I think sometimes God is saying, I want you to relinquish your own plan and your own target. Amen? I want you to relinquish control and just come after me, just follow me. It's, you know, and I was thinking to myself, you know, you make up nice little phrases and you think, yeah, I like that one. I had one, what was it? I think I put it on the other page here. Don't make success your target. Make Jesus your target. Yeah, that sounds great, doesn't it? Don't make success your target. Make Jesus your target. But what does that mean? What does that mean to make Jesus your target? Do you know, to be concerned about the kingdom of God and make Jesus your target? Well, I was thinking about it and I was thinking, I remember when I made Gemma my target. how old would I have been? 17, 18. I remember making Gemma my target. I fell in love with her quite quickly. I don't think she really fell in love with me as quickly, but that's okay. Because I made her my target. And do you know what I did? I just spent all my time talking to her, and we used to spend loads of time texting each other. And whenever she would say, oh, does anyone need a lift home? I'll be like, yeah, me. and then I got a job in Bluewater. My mum remembers I got a job in Bluewater because Gemma had a job in Bluewater. And I wanted to just... And then I used to leave early just so I could go home with her. But can you understand, like, when you make someone your target... I mean, you might not want to be as extreme as that, but with the Lord, have you made him your target? Or is he an add-on? You know, there's a real sense sometimes where, you know, we can say, well, I pray to the... And you'll notice it in your prayer times, whether you've made him a target or not. Okay, one, if you're not having prayer times, he's probably not the target. Okay? I've been there. It's all right. But in your prayer times, if every prayer is, Lord, what I need is this, this, and this. Okay? And what I haven't got is this, this, and this. And Lord, I need you to do for me this, this, and this. Okay? And I've been there as well, and I'm still there. And I'm not saying don't ask the Lord for stuff. But is there, do you know what I had to do in my prayer times? I've got this, you know, I'm a bit of a rubbish prayer. And what I've got is I've got this little app on my phone, and I realised that, left to my own devices, a lot of the time what I do is I just pray about poor old me and all the things that I need to be happy. Okay? And I realised that there's more to my relationship with God than just that. Because if you're in a relationship with someone, the only time they ever talk to you is when they need something, it becomes a pretty draining relationship. And you know what? I put a category on my phone called, like, it's got these categories, and each day one will pop up from each category. And I've got one that says, just listen to the Lord. And I realise most of the time what I'm doing is when it gets to listen to the Lord, I go, I haven't got enough time for that. Let me go to the next category. And I put another one in saying, just worship the Lord. So I'll stick a worship song on and I'll just, instead of go, 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 it's just, I found the Lord just speaks to me sometimes, just things. And do you know what? I'm just filled with that joy and things are different. And I'm not in that place of, oh, well, I need and I want. And I don't really know what I'm trying to say this morning, but maybe we can just look at a quick little story. But I think the Lord wants to move us somehow out of the place we're in faith. And I think that'll look different for different people. And we can go into Luke 5. We can have a look in Luke 5. We're just going to read a quick story. You all know the story. It's a great story. So Luke 5 verse 4. Now Jesus was preaching and it was all getting a bit too busy. So he just said, all right, here's some fishermen. He got in the boat and he said, just I'll preach from the boat and then no one can like mob me. So we're going to pick up the story there. It said, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper. And let your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with the fish on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that he had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I just want to pick up on a few little verses in here. And I really think this is the word of the Lord to us. Now go out where it's deeper. Now go out where it's deeper. I love that so much. And I think that it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, the Lord is asking you to go out where you can't touch the bottom anymore and you've got to trust him. He's asking you to go out where you can't touch the bottom anymore and you can't see the bottom. And you've just got to trust him. You're never going to understand everything. You might understand a bit more, but you're never going to understand, you're never even going to understand the whole of this book, let alone the whole of God. But I do know that the Lord is going to be calling you out just a bit further. You think, oh, I can stand here now, I feel comfortable here. Before, I could never get this far out. And the Lord's going to say, come on, come on. Come out a bit further. I've been told I'm not allowed to go off the mat, so I'm not on the camera. And go all the way. He's saying, just come out a bit further. I want you to come out into the deep where you can't rely on you and you've got to rely on me. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, well, it is quite exciting. But what? But what about when we don't understand what that looks like and we like to understand what everything looks like? I don't know what your personality's like, but I think some of us are a bit like Peter, be like, look, I've already tried this. And I think the Lord might be saying to someone, they feel that the Lord is speaking to them and asking them to step out into something. And they're saying, I've already tried this. It didn't work. And the Lord's saying, I just want you to trust me and do it again. I don't know what the Lord's calling you into, but what I do know is that he's saying, I would like you to do what I'm asking you to do, even though you can't see how it's going to work. And let me do what I do best. And now, we follow this bit down to the end and it says, "What after everything happens, the first thing that Jesus says is, don't be afraid. And I love that because Jesus knows our hearts, doesn't he? He knows our hearts. And he's speaking to us and he's saying, look, I want you to move out into more of what I've got for you And I know you're scared, but don't be. Don't be afraid. And we want to encourage ourselves to say, yes, I want to go for it. Lord, I want to go for it. I don't know what your situation is, but I know that you have to either choose what he's asking you to do or not, or decide to do what you want to do. There's one other example, sometimes stepping out in faith means doing nothing. Where's Jim? Is Jim gone? Jim shared a verse and said, be still and know that I am God. I encourage you that we need to know what the word of the Lord is for our lives. But sometimes the word of the Lord is going to be, don't do anything. And I had that when I had a lot of problems at work, and I was trying so hard to sort it all out myself. And I remember the Lord saying to me, just don't do anything. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, amen, Lord. But I'm just going to do this, this and this. And sometimes the Lord is saying, if you want to move in faith, the only way you can move in faith is to do nothing and just sit and watch me do it. Now, if you're a fixer, if you're anything like me, I like sorting all the problems out. I like fixing and working my way through it and finding a solution and sorting everything out. And sometimes the Lord's saying, that's not, you've got to let me do that. And we say, but I can't stop trying to control it. I can't stop my natural instincts. And I want to encourage you that sometimes it's a step out in faith to say, I'm not going to do something. I'm just thinking about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Now, they were told you need to bow down to the big golden statue, otherwise you're dead. Okay, and they had the choice. Do what the Lord, seek the kingdom of God first, or bow the knee. And it's the same challenge that you and I have got, in maybe in a different format, maybe in a different way, in a different situation. But what are you going to do? You need to decide, am I going to seek the kingdom of God? Am I going to go for God? Or am I going to just do whatever it takes to be happy? And they decided, didn't they? But you know what? I did think about that story a little bit. And I thought, what about Shadrach? Was like me, and he just wanted to wriggle a bit. Do you know what I mean? And he was like, well, there must be a way that I can do what God wants and what I think I need as well. And he said, well, you know what? I wasn't bowing my knee. I was just tying my shoelace. I kind of got away with it this way. Or what if you like me? What if Meshach was like me? And he said, oh, I can figure out a way where I can get what I want and I can keep everybody else happy. He said, well, I've looked through the rules of this thing, and if you've got a bad back and you can't actually bow, then you get an exemption. You know, there's something in us that says I can have my cake and eat it, in a sense. But with God, sometimes we have to say, Lord, I'm going to side with you. And you know what? I'm going to side with you against how I feel. You know, that is one of the biggest challenges of a Christian, to say, I feel like this, and I'm going to side against myself. And I'm going to side with what this book says. And I'm going to side with that little check in my heart that says, I probably shouldn't do this. Or I probably should do this. Amen? I don't know how long I've been going for. About half hour. That sounds about good. That sounds about right, doesn't it? So, in conclusion, my sermon is: step out and do something. Don't do anything. That really makes sense, does it? But I hope there's something in your heart that says, "Oh, do you know what? If I'm going to move into this garment of praise, I'm going to have to let the Lord do something that I can praise Him for." And I'm going to have to seek His face. I'm going to have to step out into the deep where I can't, my feet don't touch the bottom. Okay? I want to encourage us. Maybe we can invite some musical people up to maybe just we have a response song. Thanks to Enoch. I did